So we are thinking about Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 17. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. So here we have another famine. And indeed, in some respects, we have another copy of the experience of Abraham, the father of Isaac. Perhaps that was quite a long time ago, maybe even 100 years. From that famine which had afflicted Abraham and caused him to travel to Abimelech. And this famine that was a problem to Isaac. This shows us, surely, that every believer has his own trial. And even young people have trials. We're speaking particularly to young people. Perhaps the children amongst us today. Children have trials too. Children have difficult experiences, difficult times. And even those who are blessed of God do not find life easy. But they have promises given to them. And they are called to trust and depend upon God. That's what faith is. That's what it is to believe God. And so these trials that we are given, these trials that are brought upon us, are sent to test our faith and to prove that it is real faith. The Lord used this occasion of the famine and Isaac's need to find somewhere where he could maintain his family to restate to Isaac his promises that had first been given to Abraham. You remember how God had promised Abraham that through his line and from his seed would come the promised Messiah, and also there would be a possession of the land of Canaan. Well, God uses this occasion to restate those promises to Isaac, and we have that before us here in this passage. You see, the Lord had not forgotten. The Lord remembers his promises to his people. Isaac was tempted to go into Egypt, but God said to him, "Don't go there. Stay here. This is your land. And if you stay here, I will be with thee and I will bless thee. I'll stay with you here in this land and I will send my blessings upon you." And we're reminded of a little verse in Isaiah 43 when we think of these troubles that Isaac had to endure. That verse 2 of Isaiah 43 says this. Listen to it. "When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The troubles that we have in this life, the troubles that we have to experience, and the trials that we have to endure will sometimes feel like deep water that is ready to overflow us, or rapid rivers that are ready to knock us over and carry us away, or indeed even fire that is going to consume us altogether. But what the Lord is promising to his people in this verse in Isaiah, and what he promised to Isaac, was that he will bring us through with his mighty hand. He will deliver his people who trust in him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said the same to his disciples. "I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look," he says, "lo, I am with you always." And repeated promises are given to us in Scripture in order to reassure us. Isaac had this promise given to him again because it was to reassure him of the Lord's continuing presence with him. So he repeated that covenant promise to Isaac, both for the land and even more wonderfully with respect to the coming Messiah, the Saviour, Jesus Christ, who would come from the line of Isaac, the Lord Jesus, in whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. And that future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, promised long ago, was eagerly believed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Samson and Job and all those other Old Testament characters. They believed that Jesus was coming. And we might think that Abraham and Isaac were alive a long, long time ago, and we have very little in common with them or very little connection to them. But they were called to trust in the very same Jesus who is set before us today in the gospel. And as we are called to trust him, we are trusting the same Jesus. We are believing in the same Saviour. We are praising the same Messiah, because he is the only way of salvation, the only way for peace with God. And therefore, we have that in common with these old people, these old men and women of the Bible times. verses 6 through 11 in this little chapter that we read is a little bit like déjà vu. I don't know if you know what déjà vu means, but it means that we've already seen this before. This is very, very familiar. And of course, it shows us that Isaac acted very much like Abraham, his father. That Isaac harbored those same doubts and fears concerning God's provision. And like Abraham, he lied when he felt that he personally was at risk. And I think this is very notable. You see, we are called to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal things, for things to do with heaven and hell, for our eternal salvation. But yet we often stumble over little things, over everyday things, over our well-being and the well-being of our families. Let us trust the Lord for both the here and now and for those things that are yet to come. Despite Isaac's doubting, the Lord was faithful to him, and he provided plentifully and richly for Isaac and for Isaac's family as he said he would. The Lord blessed him 100-fold in 1 year. You know what that means? That means that for every one that he planted, he got 100 back. Such was the richness and the blessing of God's provision for his servant. And such was Isaac's prosperity that the Philistines became envious, and they tried to make life hard for Isaac by filling in his wells with soil and blocking up the sources that he had to water and feed his flocks. And finally, they became so envious that Abimelech, the king, asked Isaac to leave. And in Genesis 26, verse 16, we read, Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. You know, often it is that there is a material prosperity comes to God's people in this world. It just is the case that if we live in obedience to the ways of God and the works of God, often there is a relative prosperity and wealth comes to us. And sometimes that can be envied and we can be rejected by those who do not hold the principles that we hold and follow. But I think rather there is another sense here. This land in which the Philistines dwelt and this land in which Isaac now dwelt was to become his possession. And I don't know how much the Philistines knew about this, but I suspect quite a lot. They knew that Abraham and Isaac would one day inherit all this land, that the posterity of this man would own this land and its wealth and not their own children. So God's promise was to Abraham and Isaac. And the very presence of Isaac amongst the Philistines provoked their anger and their envy. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him, we don't try to upset the people around about us. But very often our very presence, our faith, our belief about the Lord Jesus Christ, about heaven and hell, about sin and judgment, about forgiveness and mercy, provoke all who deny what, or rather who, we believe in. So know this, whether we're younger or whether we're older, we shall never find true peace in this world amongst a worldly people. We might want to be friends with this world, but the world won't have those who trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Abraham, rather, we lift our eyes to heaven, for this world is not our home. We desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he hath prepared for us a city. May the Lord, our God, be pleased to give us grace to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to look beyond this world to that heavenly city that he has prepared for them that love him. Amen.